I'm going to ask that you would turn to John chapter 9 this morning. I'm going to go ahead and hit you really hard with the title of the message so that you kind of know what's coming at us. The title of the message is Blinded by Blame. Blinded by Blame. You'll see clearly as we go through this where that title came from. All right, breathe. Everybody breathe. Are you ready? You ready to get in the Word today? John chapter 9. Now, I want to thank Matthew. There he is. Matthew, thank you for reading that for us. You did a fabulous job. I really do appreciate it. I'm actually going to pull first from that passage that he read, but I want you to know we're going to go through John chapter 9 in its entirety. There will be portions of it that we may not completely read, but we're actually going to go from beginning to end in that chapter. I want you to see this in its full, entire context. We're going to hit on a topic that's no fun to talk about, so don't go anywhere. Hang in there. We're going to do this together, all right? I've already gone through it one time. It was tough. Second time, it's going to be all right. We can do this. John chapter 9, here's what we see in those first 12 verses. One of the key things, specifically in verse 2 and 3, is we see that people have a tendency to be quick to cast the blame. Do you know that? We're starting out really well. All of us have to be on the same page. We have to understand, for some reason, there's something in us that really loves to point the finger. We got to have somebody to blame. We got to have somebody to call out. It's got to be, and can I tell you, the majority of the time, it's because we don't want to be wrong. I know that hurts, but it's the truth. Most of the time, it's because we want somebody else to be at fault, so we start pointing the fingers, so we take the view off of us and put it on someone else. But that is in the human nature to do that. You see it in this passage they're talking about in verse 2. He says, who sinned? The disciples say, who was it? Who sinned? Is it the parents or is it this man that he would be born blind? Now, this is a tradition that they pull from Old Testament. And really and truthfully, it's like many of us. We oftentimes find Scripture, we read it, and we make it the center of our universe. And we forget that you have to see Scripture in its entirety. You don't just take one verse and make it the verse that life is about. You take all of Scripture and you bring it together and it gives you the whole story. And what we find is in Scripture, they go back to the Old Testament and they would tie into this moment when they stood on one mountain and said, if you do this, then you'll be cursed. If you do this, then you'll be blessed. And then they said, well, that must be how everything is. If someone is born blind, then they just must be cursed. But do you realize that some people are just born blind and that we have a tendency to define what is a curse? But what's to say that this man was cursed? What's to say he was not blessed? Oh. God is going to glorify himself and in through this man, but we define what we think is a curse, what we think is a blessing. But do you realize, if we would quit spending so much time pointing fingers at one another, we might actually get something done. We spend so much time blaming one another and pointing fingers that we take our eyes off of Jesus and we put our eyes pointed down our finger. It's no wonder we're not living like Christ. We're not looking in the right place. We're so focused on casting blame. I was talking to Logan Peck this week. Logan's one of the younger guys in our congregation, and he's a theologian, and I love talking to some of those guys just to take these passages and kind of bounce them off of them and see what they think. And so I sent him some of my sermon notes, and he was looking through them, and he sent back this thing. He said, I don't know where this quote comes from. He said, but there's a quote that I heard some years ago. People need basically four things in life to survive: food, water, shelter, and someone to blame. Is that human nature or what? Doesn't that define human nature at the very core? I mean, if you don't believe that, look at your families. Oh, Pastor, you quit preaching. You've gone to meddling. Now you're getting all up in my household and stuff. But take a minute and look at your families and ask, what's causing division in my house? Hello? This is one of the key things that's causing division in our households. It's causing division in the church. It's causing divisions in our community. Oh, my word, it's causing division on Facebook. That's all Facebook is anymore, is this, pointing fingers. I have to tell you this because after I preached last service, I had three people come and say to me, have you ever heard this before? Have you ever heard this before? Every time you point a finger, you have three pointing back at you. You ever heard that? You haven't? Some of you have, all right? In addition to that, where should you really be looking? Where this finger is pointing. Oh, it's not a finger, it's a thumb. Come on, get over it, okay? So you got all these fingers that you're pointing this, but you know, really we should be like, all right, God's got this. Do you realize you're not the judge? I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Do you realize you're not the judge? Who's the judge? God. So why don't we let him judge and let him cast blame where it needs to be and let's get focused back on Jesus? You know how many people are trapped in the blame game? They're so trapped that they can't even live life. Why? Because they spend all of their thought life thinking about the people that they want to blame. And they're missing out on living life to the fullest. They can literally be set free if they would quit pointing fingers. Oh, see, y'all mad at me now. But what if? What if we were to change the way we thought? What if we were to change the way we see life and we would quit thinking like the rest of the world? Because, see, it's human nature to cast blame. But we are new creations. Oh, you haven't heard that before? The old is dead. We're alive in Christ. And if I want to be alive in Christ, then I have to quit pointing the finger at everybody else. And honestly, I got to take some responsibility for my life too. I can see y'all going to be a whole lot of fun. It's not a whole lot of fun to hear this, is it? Why? Because inside of us, it just kind of gets at us. I was thinking about this last hour, at the end of the last hour. What if we were to ask ourselves the question, why is it so important to me that I get to continue to point the finger? What if we were to get to the root of it and say, what is the satisfaction I get from doing that? And if we got to the root of it, then we'd realize that it's not a godly thing that we're satisfying. We're feeding the wrong nature. We're feeding the wrong nature, and it's time for us to start feeding the right nature. Start feeding that spirit. Let the spirit feed us. Amen? So one of the first things you see is people are quick to cast the blame. If you go down to verse 13 through 17, we also see that people are pretty slow to give praise or to give credit where credit is due. Really slow to do this. Verse 13, it says, they brought to the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. This Jesus, he's not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. See, once again, they're trapped in this. Really, it's man-made religion because, see, there were rules that were added to what God said. Jesus came and said, yeah, I said to take care, to make the Sabbath holy. He said, I want you to make sure that you continue to do this thing called the Sabbath. He said, but let me tell you what I really meant. You need rest. And the only way you get rest is in me. So you must stop and rest. And he said, judge for yourself whether it's okay to do good on the Sabbath. He said, because the Sabbath, listen, you have to understand, Sabbath wasn't made for man. I mean, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us. We weren't made to entertain the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to give us rest. And God, Jesus comes in and he totally redefines what they think the Sabbath is. Why? Because they were looking at it the wrong way. They didn't have the right glasses on. And so they start giving him a hard time. Why? Because it goes against what they think. Oh, you don't think that happens today? We don't give people credit. Why? Because they think different than us. Oh, you don't think that happens today? You got one news outlet that can't say anything good about this news outlet. This news outlet can't say anything good about this candidate. This news outlet can't say anything good about this one. Why? Because then they think that we're condoning them and that we're supporting them. But what if we were to actually say, if somebody does something good, man, that was good. You know what might happen? They might do more good. Oh, Pastor Eric got all political today. No, it's our nature. It comes out in our politics. It comes out in our religion. It comes out in our neighborhoods and in our cultures. It comes out in our families. Why? Because it's our nature. But we are not called to live like the rest of the world. We are changed beings. We are new creations. It's time to start living like a new creation. And seeing through kingdom vision. In our nature, we love to point the finger. In our nature, we can't say anything good about somebody we don't like. But is that of God? No. Do you realize that God can use horrible people? Oh, you want me to start naming some? I'm just kidding. You'd be like, wait, he said my name. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, God can use people that we don't agree with to get glory. He did it with Pharaoh, right? Oh, he did it with Herod, right? Oh, he did it with the other Herod, right? Oh, he did it with the other Herod. Yeah, there's a lot of them. I get it, okay? He did it with a lot of leaders, like all of these rulers. See, God says that we're supposed to fall in line and pray for our leaders. If we would quit bad-mouthing our leaders and start praying for them, we might actually see something get done. I mean, moving on. These Pharisees were really struggling to give Jesus credit for healing somebody. I mean, this was an amazing feat. This was a God thing. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. Gee, imagine that. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? Since he has opened your eyes, he said he is a prophet. So one of the first things we see in this passage, John chapter 9, is we see people are real quick to cast the blame. The second is we see that they're going to struggle in their humanity to give praise when something good happens. And then the third thing we see is people, in this next passage, we're going to see people lean towards self-preservation. We're always guarding and protecting ourselves. But what if it wasn't your job to protect you? What if we left that to God? Do you realize if we were stuck in self-preservation mode, no one would be saved? Because we'd be afraid to say the name of Jesus. Jesus, the name of Jesus brings opposition. Verse 18, the Jews did not believe that he had been blind, had received his sight. Of course they didn't. Until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked him, is this your son who you, get this, who you say was blind? Is this your son? And oh, by the way, you just say he was blind. It goes on to say, how then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But now, but how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. Parentheses. Ready for this? He said these things because they said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. They went into self-preservation mode. Why? Because it's in our nature to do that, even when my child just received his sight. I mean, you go, how in the world could that? Because it's in our nature to protect ourselves. So he said, what? Ask him. He is of age. Talk to him. He can speak for himself. Why? Because I don't want to be kicked out of the circle that I like to run with. Can't say anything good about anybody. Can't. I got to point the finger. Why? So I can continue to run with the herd. Hey, before you judge them, think about us today. Before we go and start judging these parents, we have to understand that we really aren't much different. Because we're scared to death to say something that's going to get us kicked out of this circle of influence or this circle of influence or this group that we run with. Am I wrong? It's so true, isn't it? In a bit of a wrap-up, here's what we have to understand. In order for us to truly have 2020 vision, it requires something to change. It requires that we quit thinking like the norm. We quit thinking like the rest of the world. We quit thinking, what would happen if we quit pointing fingers at one another? What would happen if we actually started to praise God for the good things that are occurring? What would happen if we got past trying to protect me and we thought about what's best for we? What would happen? Man, it would be life-changing. So what would happen in your family if you quit, kids, what if you quit blaming your parents for every single problem that you had in your life? Oh, was that too close? Parents, what if you quit blaming your kids for everything that happened in your life? What if spouses, oh, by the way, spouses, I'm talking to you, not the person sitting beside you. You're like, oh, this sermon's for my husband. You needed to hear this today. Or the man said, man, my wife needed to hear this. No, this message is for you. And this message is for me. Quit thinking about everybody else that needs to hear this and ask the question, where am I casting the blame? Where am I pointing the finger? What would happen if I changed and actually was more about resolving issues, more about becoming a part of the solution instead of trying to point out all the problems? What if we started to look for answers in our family and we didn't have to carry this thing where, you know what? I always have to be right. I always have to be the one that's correct. I get to be the one that points the finger. And even if I am right, what says that I have to keep pointing the finger? Why don't I quit pointing the finger and start looking to Jesus? What would happen in my family if Jesus was the center of our focus and all of us were focused on Him? You know what I think would happen? We would start seeing restoration. We would see strong marriages. We would see strong families. We would see strong ministries. We would see strong churches. Jesus said, He said, basically, this is how they're going to know that you're my disciple. If you love one another, what would happen if we started to love one another? I'll tell you what would happen. The community would look at us and they would say, I want some of that. I want some of that. And you know what else would happen? More than likely, they would quit looking down their finger at you, and they would start looking at the Jesus that's shining through you. What if our life was really about just magnifying this Jesus? Oh, wait, that's what the Bible says. What if we did what the Word said? And we changed our vision to be kingdom-minded, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not worry about all this other stuff. Why? Because it'll be added unto us. If we'll just fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why? So that we'll know what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will for our life. If we look to Jesus, then we'll know His will. But man, it's so much fun to point the finger, isn't it? Did I lose you? Isn't it fun? Come on, be honest. It's a blast. But can I take it a step further? It's a blast for a minute, but like any other sin, it becomes a burden. And some of you today are carrying burdens that are super heavy, and they come from that whole thing of, but I don't want to forgive. You don't know why? Because I enjoy pointing the finger. But can I tell you, there's a whole lot more joy in living your life the Jesus way than it is living the way of the world. This last week I had a toothache. Really, really, really bad toothache. Y'all ever have those? Miserable. This is probably the first time I've ever had one that was like that shooting pain. Oh, you know where you can count your heartbeat? In your tooth. Yes. So you feel your heartbeat in your tooth. And it wasn't going away, because sometimes you get that tooth, you know, like you drink something cold, shooting pain, and then it subsides. But what do you do when you get like shooting pain and more of that? And it just never goes away. So I did what everybody does, every male in the room does when you get a toothache. I called the dentist. I'm just kidding. Y'all don't ever do that, do you? I called the dentist this time. Before that, I did what everybody usually does, and that is, oh, I can handle this for a little while longer. Oh, it'll be okay. Oh, it'll subside. Oh, it'll go away. It wasn't until it was the shooting pain that kind of takes you down to your knee that I went, maybe I should see somebody about this. In your families, in your workplace, in your ministries, in that relationship that you're struggling in, you already know something's wrong. Are you going to wait until the pain is excruciating to actually do something about it? You going to wait till it literally just takes you to your knees? Because by then, it's a whole lot harder to fix. By then, you've gone so far that the relationship may not even be mendable. The tooth may not even be one that can be repaired. They're going to have to go a totally different way. Why? Because it didn't go when I already knew I had a problem. I waited until it was so painful that I couldn't move forward. I don't know about you, but I personally want to change the way I look at things. I got these glasses, 4 to 6 months ago, because I think they make me look better. That's why I got them. I was just seeing if you're paying attention. I got them because I can't see as well as I used to be able to. It's something about age. I don't know. You get over a certain age and they say that happens. But can't see as well as I used to be able to see. So I got these glasses. Well, I was doing the young adults group the other night, and we were reading the Bible, and I told him to go to a certain verse. I think it was 6, but I really meant 8 or vice versa, something like that. Realized I didn't have my glasses on. You don't know why? Because I was with young adults. You got to look cool, right? You know, you got to take the glasses off and be like, yeah, I'm young like you. My wife, who never gives me a break, says, that's the wrong verse, Eric. Get your glasses. I put my glasses on, and I'll be doggone, I could see it then. Hey, what if we had 20/20 vision for our spiritual walk? What if we were actually to put our glasses on and see clearly right now that a change needs to occur within us? And we need to do this different than the way the rest of the world is doing it. You don't know what, you want to look at the rest of the world and see how that's going for them? Hello? You know, look at the rest of the world and see how things are going? I want people to know that I'm a follower of Jesus by the way I love my brothers and sisters and the way that I love a community that God loves so much He was willing to die for it. Would you stand with me?